Chapter 5. Shadowbound. Felinia Eft waited for her next instruction in an isolated service stairwell. Metal stairs curled around dozens of times up to surface level, and below, downward to the tunnels, riddling Kiovar's subsurface. A short landing, lined with junction boxes, broke the run of steps at her location. There were others similar below. Many of the tunnels were mines, sunk in the days when Kiovar still had mineral resources of its own to exploit. Before the moon Lysaeus had been opened up for exploitation, the planet had been picked clean of everything useful. In places, the crust was so honeycombed with old workings that giant ferrocrete pilings were required to hold up the teeming cities above. Where the caverns were not used for other purposes, they were sealed off, as was the case with her current location. The stairs were caked with flakes of corrosion. The junction boxes were doorless, the gauges they had housed torn out. Lifeless wires poked from holes in the wall. Everything was rusty, russet-coloured at the edges of Felinia's lamplight, bright orange at the heart of the beam. Water pattered down the centre of the stairwell, and had been doing so long enough to eat a jagged hole through the metal near Felinia's feet. Where the water splashed on the wall, furred deposits coloured brown and turquoise grew. If one wished to run an insurrection, there were many places on Kiovar to do it from. She turned her stablight off, velvety dark pressed against her face with physical intimacy. Felinia was no claustrophobic and had little fear of darkness either. She waited patiently. Mould spores tickled her nostrils. The smell of damp was pervasive. Despite the wet, it was hot in the underworld. After some time, a spy drone hummed up the steps. Blue running lights pulsed, pushing back the dark, replacing it with a gloom two shades off midnight. The drone was Kiovaran-made, fist-sized and smooth like a bullet. It exhibited none of the mythical nonsense of the Mechanicum. A Martian machine would be housed in a skull, or some other morbid item. Kiovarans felt no desire to fashion the remains of the dead into devices. Theirs was a purer technology. The drone's single eye blinked. It played a scan sweep up and down Felinia's body. She held still, while invisible infrared lasers measured various aspects of her body to verify her identity. Satisfied, it turned about, shut off its running lights, and flew back down the stairs. The stairs shook under the ascent of her contact from the underworld. Again it was totally dark. She estimated the man's size, age, and weight from his tread. He was very tall, heavily built, his gait suggesting he was probably at the end of middle age. She had never seen his face. His name, though, that she did know. He kept it from her as jealously as he guarded his appearance, and would kill her if he discovered she knew what it was. But she was not without resources of her own, and had found it out. He was called Erin. The last step. The landing shifted under his weight. He halted. He was completely silent. Not even his breath was audible, but she could feel his presence, and almost fancied she could see him as a thickening in the dark.
"Eft," he said.
He had a gravelly voice, pitched always low. There was a phlegmy click to some of his words, one of the reasons she thought he was getting old.
"You're late," she said.
"I'm here now."
"If you're late, I could get caught," she said defiantly.
She had no real quarrel with him, but picked the fight to show her strength.
"No one's on to you," said Erin.
"It's a risk," she said.
Erin chuckled.
"All we do is risk. I'm sorry I was late. Unavoidable," he said.
She didn't ask for more information. He never elaborated unless he wished to.
"You did a good job with Adrin," he continued. "You sent a fine message to those fat gill bloodsuckers. None of them are safe. They're beginning to get worried."
"They need to be punished," she said. "I'm happy to punish them."
"I know that," he said. "Felinia the killer."
He spoke her name oddly. She was used to provoking strong reactions. The Children of Deliverance needed her skills. They had trained her, but they didn't always approve of the ends she put their methods to.
They lied to us, Felinia said. I don't like lies. Their lies took away my parents' life. They nearly took mine too.
With the Savior away, the guilds have lost their fear and are abusing their position again, Erin said. Obeying the letter, not the spirit of the laws. Always twisting everything. We will stop it. Korax has to know.
We should be moving faster, she said. This is too slow. We should strike multiple targets, behead each guild house.
That's not our strategy.
You're too worried about what the Primarch will think if you shed too much blood. You're not bold enough.
I do care what the Primarch will think.
The landing shifted. Erin came closer to her.
I fought with him. I was at his side when Lysaeus was taken. I was there the day he ordered the atomic mines dropped upon this world. I know how he thinks. I know what he thinks. If we reduce this world to a state of war, then the people will suffer the Imperium's reprisals.
I disagree.
Need I warn you again not to take your own actions, said Erin. We don't want to provoke an Imperial crackdown. We need to kill those oppressors the Primarch missed, finish his work for him. When he comes back, he'll realize what he needs to do. The end of all this injustice, he hissed the word, starts with us, but it will only finish with him. Only he can set this world to rights. We have to make him notice.
He said this to her every time. As always, Felinia struggled to agree. She'd wipe them all out if she could.
Clear, she said.
I have your next assignment for you.
He paused.
If you think I'm shy of bloodshed, this will change your mind. This is a big one. This will make a lot of noise. Soon after this event, we shall be pressing our demands.
Good.
There will be a lot of deaths, he said. Many innocents, perhaps.
He waited for her objection.
Even better, she said quietly.
He approved of her resolve. She could hear it in his voice.
Then listen, he said. I won't be repeating this.
He paused.
The Savior's Day is in 2 weeks' time. There will be a major parade through the center of Craft City.
He paused again. She waited for her orders with a thrill of pleasure in her gut.
You're going to blow it up, he said, and make Lord Korax pleased.